this word, God's word, but the living word. I too was blessed yesterday. I think we all had something to take away. There's a number of things that impressed me. Being in the funeral business for many years, I have seen hundreds, yes, even thousands of funerals, burying or entombing or cremating, probably in my relatively short career of funeral business, some 4,000 people. You do see a lot. But several things happened yesterday that were unique, maybe learned afresh, anew, that I really appreciated. One, and I think this was one of the largest things, was it was not a Puente Valley Christian Fellowship memorial. And what I mean by that is, being a funeral director, one of the things we often had to do was coincide really everything with the religious environment. The environment would dictate really what even the family wanted to do. And so if you went to this particular setting, we knew it was going to be 34 minutes and it would be done. We knew who would speak, and you go over here, there would be something maybe totally different, but we knew exactly when it would be over and really a lot of what would even be said. But I felt yesterday, just through prayer over the last couple of weeks, the Lord really answered in providing an environment that was Christ and a unique person, which we all are. Yesterday it was Floyd. And it was his personality, his strengths and his weaknesses, which came up, which I thought was handled better than I've ever heard it by Lou. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. It's a very difficult thing to handle because we have a problem. As Christians, we're not very transparent often. But that transparency came out yesterday in a very spirit-filled way and allowed, which could be a very uncomfortable situation, and yet it came out so right, so smooth, so in the spirit. Because the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, there's not one of us that's anything more than an earthen vessel. And most of us aren't even broken to the extent that the treasure can even come out. One time I was sharing on this, and I had a vessel up here of clay. And I got to the part about being broken, and it was quite ornate, and the girls all gasped when I picked that up and threw it on the floor. It shattered, and inside were these gems that, of course, represented the Lord. So I did really appreciate yesterday. And I've seen this at weddings where it wasn't the bride's wedding. It was the Lord's wedding with the bride's touch, sanctified touch. And it's very beautiful to see, you know, all young girls that are following the Lord, they have this idea, I want, I want a Christian wedding. My relatives are going to be there that are not saved, and I want this to be a testimony. Well, in the next 6 months, between the time of planning and the wedding, the bride and the bride's mother gets very much in the way. And come time of the bride, the wedding, something has been lost of the glory of the Lord. The bride and the mom have been at odds. Sometimes it's not taken care of. It's not forgiven. And there's this dark cloud over. All attempts are made. There is singing about the Lord. There is preaching about the Lord. But everyone's there but the Lord. And I just thanked the Lord yesterday. The Lord was there. And it came out. And we know that's what our brother would have wanted more than anything else. I had the privilege in last November of going to England. I had made plans for a couple of months, but prior to getting there, the reason that we were going was to see Brother Flack. He went to be with the Lord 3 days before we flew to England. Well, they all waited for me to get there to help with the arrangements. And one of the things that one of the brothers brought up that was customary there in England for Christian funerals was to have a program, and on the right, on the outside, it had various things like a celebration of someone's life, a victory celebration. And on one, it said the legacy of so-and-so. And they wanted something like that for Brother Flack. The legacy of Brother Alfred Joshua Flack. And the Lord spoke to me about it. And I said, brothers, could I just suggest one thing? Could we have this, say, the legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Brother Flack? And we've been thinking of that even the last couple weeks as we've been praying about this service there in Scottsdale, that it would be a legacy of the Lord Jesus. And that it was. When we were a fledgling group in Houston in the late 80s, about this size here on a good gathering, one of the sisters in our group, Chinese speaking, suggested, she says, you know, when I lived in Culver City, I met a man by the name of Floyd Police. And I think he could help us. So I gave Brother Floyd a call. He came out for 1 week. We didn't have a place to meet. We met in our business. It wasn't the funeral business then. We had a training room in this. It was a pharmaceutical business. You can always improve in life. You can go from the funeral business to pharmaceutical, saving life. So there's always hope. We had this training room, and we met there, and Floyd shared with us for that week. And it was a glorious time, and that's where I met Floyd for the first time. Didn't meet June. She did not come out. After my wife passed away, and Phil alluded to this, I met this lovely little Chinese girl at Westmount College at WCC for the second time. I'd met her 2 weeks before and was introduced to her. But when I saw her the second time there at Westmount, introduced my family to her on Wednesday night, if you remember, that's when it starts. Thursday afternoon, I proposed to her. That was 20 years ago, and I'm happy to Helen is here with me. But the reason I brought that up, Helen heard about that conference just a few days before the conference began. And she called, who do you think? Not Becky, Juneau Police. And of course, registration had been closed for a month. But you all know June. She said, we've got room for you, Helen. And Helen said, but I need a ride too. Well, we'll get you a ride too. She was in the Los Angeles area. Helen was. And so within an hour or two, she called Helen and arranged for Helen to be there. And of course, the rest is history. As far as I'm concerned, wonderful history. So just a couple incidents of my ties with the fellowship here, and very specifically with our dear brother and dear sister who have finished the course. And the reason I'm standing up here this morning is because we haven't finished yet. But we have a roadmap. We have a person who settled a bill for us. And all we have to do is just know that person and listen to his voice and follow him home. And we make a lot of mistakes. And as has been mentioned a number of times today, in our Bible study earlier, we got to get over condemnation, self-condemnation, being offended by others who condemn us. And that will happen. That's one of the tests. It's one of the ways we grow up. Getting over being offended. So that nothing offends us. And how does that occur? One way. Not taking a psychology course, but falling in love with the Lord Jesus and allowing his life, who is never offended, to fill us, to control us. So in a few minutes, we have, I'd like to just share a brief word. John 1:1 doesn't get any more familiar than that. This is one place I feel a little bit at home regarding my hoarse voice, because of Lou and his father. So, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh. And then in Psalms 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth. Now we go from Christ being the Word to our words that we speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. James 1:22. These verses are so familiar. This is what I enjoy about the gospel. It's for children. It's for the ones who think simply. Simply. Our problem is, is that we're often too big, and we cannot get small enough to comprehend it. I remember a brother came to Brother Kong once and said, "Brother Kong, I'm just so weak." And Brother Kong looked at him and said, "Brother, you're too strong." Here's another one of those very simple words, James 1, 22. "But prove yourself doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves, but prove yourselves doers of the Lord Jesus." Of the Word, the living Word. And then one last scripture, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Excuse me, verse 18. "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God." For the word of the cross. Let's just have a further word of prayer. Father, we're thankful to be gathered in your presence this morning, remembering you around the table. This table, who is the person of Christ. Everything we think of the Lord Jesus is seen in these two symbols. What a wonderful thought. Thank you now for your word, this living word. May truly be that. Break thou the word of truth, Lord, into our hearts, that we might be like thee, that we might follow thee. In Christ's name, amen. In the beginning was the Word. Recently, very recently, as I read that first phrase, simply asked this question: why the Word? Why that terminology? We know that there are many wonderful names given to the Lord, but why the word Word? And I would like to just fellowship on that thought. We know that Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am all of those letters in the alphabet that make up what? Words. And from those words come sentences. And sentences make up thought, make up expression, make up ideas, make up commands, make up precepts. A word that Ernie used this morning in Sunday school. Statutes, ordinances, testimony. And they're given, and they're for you and I. It's very interesting. Animals do not know one word. Birds do not know a word. And immediately, some of you bright ones, thinking of your parrot, who says, "I love you, I love you," but doesn't know that he's saying, "I love you." Doesn't even have a clue of what it means. Totally meaningless. fish, contrary to the porpoise lovers. Do you have no words? But man, that's you and I, were created in the image of God. And with that image included what?
Words.
Speaking. Hearing. Listening. And this very thought brings us to God's purpose. What does God want? Why did he create us different than monkeys? You can take all of the monkeys ever born, all the chimpanzees, all the baboons, put them together, and they will not come up with one word. But we speak. We hear for a specific reason. God created man for himself. It's the most incredible thought. This week in one of the devotionals, I had this question. What is the most unreasonable thing that ever happened to us as believers? Totally unreasonable. That God saved us. And that was a lot of the testimony even yesterday. That God saved us. It's the most totally unreasonable thing. But then to take it a step further, what did he save us for? To have this relationship. To have a less constant communion with God. And Noah walked with God. And Enoch walked with God. And Abraham was a friend of God. And John the Apostle lays his head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. And for 3.5 years, Jesus walks with his disciples. And God talked with Moses face to face, man to man. It's incredible. Here we are, enemies of the Lord. God knew he would always be his enemy. And he says, I created you. And then I had to go a step further, redeem you, to bring us in to this intimacy. Now, it takes us a lifetime to learn this, but we're in the process. We're learning it. The quicker we learn it while we're here, the quicker we quit hitting our head against the wall. Because the Lord has one thing in mind. And so he keeps right at us. And through all the things that we go through in life to get us to this place where we are in this intimacy with the Lord. Often when I talk to brothers, I was just recently in Scotland, I asked a dear brother, I said, what do you make of Song of Solomon? And often there's kind of a hesitancy. Well, I really never got into Song of Solomon. But I think when we see what we're talking about here, we see how precious Song of Solomon. Just forget about all the metaphors and the deep things. Just, he kisses me with the kisses of his mouth. He takes me into his banqueting hall. And over me there is a banner of, a victory banner, really. That's what banners are all about. A victory banner of love. Just skim it. And what do you see? A precious romance with you and me. The God of the heavens, through his Son, by the Holy Spirit, bringing us in to this walk. This place of communing with the Lord. Why do we have the Lord's table? The Lord could have said many, many things when he left. But right at the center of everything was the altar, the cross, the communion table. That's what it is, the communion table. And he says, remember me. Start the week remembering me. A little exercise, I'll just leave you with this. But between now and next Sunday, ask the Lord, and Jerry touched on it, I'm just going to tweak it a little more. Ask the Lord, why the cup? Jerry said, of all the symbols, there's a cup, why not pomegranate juice? You know, that's about resurrection, isn't it? Something like that. Why not a nice lamb chop? All about the lamb. There could have been a number of things. How about milk? Well, going into, and some honey. Going into the land of Canaan. There's Christ. Milking. But why the cup? And why the bread? Just a quick perusal through the Bible. It just will make the table fuller. More meaningful. It's all about a love affair. And he says, come. All of us Mephibosheths, come to this table and eat and drink of me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Oh, that's wonderful. Why is that so wonderful? It becomes related to you and I. Now we get into a closer relationship. You know, Sinai Peninsula was not really the place to come into union with God for most of us. And let me tell you, we're not Moses. You could not get near that mountain. But the Lord Jesus became flesh. And he came down and he dwelt among us. And in John 6, he says, just eat of me. Just drink of me. I am the living Word. Man shall not live by bread alone. But how often we live by bread alone. If you think of how we are occupied with just this thing called eating, it monopolizes our life. But the Lord makes it clear, we're not to live by that alone. That's only a picture of the reality, which is eating and drinking of me. We have a problem. We have a vocabulary that's based on a fallen nature. It's taught to us by our parents, our community. Most of us did not have parents that knew anything about the cross. Maybe the cross regarding salvation, but knew nothing about a very strong self-life that totally, as someone said earlier, has a death grip on us. This self-life occupies us with ourselves. We're filled with self-realization, self-consideration, fulfilling our dreams with self-effort, self-sufficiency. It's me, me, me. And so, as a result, I'm very easily offended by someone. And that causes me to come forth with a vocabulary of gossip, slander, because they offend me. How do I get even? By gossip, putting them down. If we're not saved, we learn in the eighth grade junior high locker room how to swear. It's very cute. Learn how to cuss. And one of the words, particularly among non-believers, that you learn even as an eighth grader in the football field is what? Jesus Christ.
In vain.
Yeah. In vain. Very interesting. Why not? Oh, Buddha. Or Joseph Smith. But isn't it interesting the world, what we're made of? How we go from hallowing to automatically cursing. And this is very, very natural. Because it's natural. It's flesh. But Jesus came and took on that flesh and gave us a new vocabulary. And we could talk hours on that. But what was the new vocabulary? I'll make it very simple. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. And we can all learn three verses very quickly. First verse, 16th verse. Rejoice always. Did the children of Israel ever learn that?
No.
No. Very, very simple. Brother Gary was asking the question this morning in our Bible study. You know, what gives room for the enemy? And I almost raised my hand because the first word that I thought of was murmuring.
Yep.
It's so hot today. Oh, 2 days of rain. We're never satisfied. Never. Man will never be satisfied without the living word transforming our heart into a different vocabulary. We could carry that. There's a whole message on that. Murmuring. And we're just, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, we will never go forward. Never. Until these commandments. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he says, make disciples, teaching them to obey what?
All.
All the commandments. Rejoice always. That's a commandment. We're not to murmur. We're not to complain. We're not to be critical. These are all very clearly in the Bible. Secondly, 17th verse. What is it? Pray without ceasing. So we've already learned two verses. Rejoice always. If we can learn these verses and obey them, they'll change our life. It's right at the heart of the whole Bible. That's what I meant. Why did Jesus say, suffer the little children to come unto me? I'm so happy to see the little children. Why did he say that? Because they can understand. They're in the spirit. John the Baptist in utero jumped. Because of the spirit's influence. That's why when I hear of a conception, we immediately begin praying. The spirit, even there in the womb. Pray without ceasing. Yes, but I go to work. Oh, how many times, how we can have this constant intercourse with the Lord right there in front of that computer. Lord, give me a word. What is it? Instead of swearing at it, Lord, it takes a few seconds, even on these fast computers, to boot up, reboot. Lord, you're in charge. Otherwise, a cloud comes in. We should be about those who are just constantly worshiping, praising, thanking. But this is a whole change that only God can do by His Spirit. This isn't taking, again, psychology classes. This is waking up in the morning, claim the program. This thing, this hardware, has to be filled with new stuff. Lord, I am a sinner. I am greedy. I am lustful. I love to worry. I love to fear. I love to be captured by money, the world, and everything else. But I am crucified with you. Get on neutral ground. Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. Don't let these things. You put this horrible boss in my life. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice always. Lord, I pray for my boss. He doesn't know you. No wonder he acts this way. No wonder he's so screwball. Pray without ceasing. And continue throughout the day. Nehemiah was asked by the king, and he prayed and answered the king. Hezekiah. Nehemiah answered the king. Prayed and answered the king. Thirdly, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in you. This is what we are to be doing. All things, give thanks. Give thanks in all things. Do you see how the living Word, Christ in us, makes this possible? And it's the only way. Christ is in us by the Holy Spirit, wanting to make this a reality. Brothers and sisters, this is the simplicity of the gospel. What is the result? Let the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is his words in us. His, the living Christ in us, that makes our words. Oh, we can learn stuff. But to make it living, real 24 hours a day, only He can do it. And then we become doers of the Word. What's doers of the Word? Loving one another. Having peace throughout the day. Married to the person you're married to. God has given us home life to practice these things. And there's nothing better. God in His sovereignty, right there in Genesis 2, put us together, even before we fell, with a spouse, with a wife, with a husband, for a number of reasons. But one of the best reasons is to purify us and to show us only by the Lord's life, only by His forgiveness, can we love our dear mate. Can we go on and growing and growing and have this magnificent love affair on earth? Or we quit trying to change the person. Accept the person as they are. Let God do the changing. Rejoicing always, giving thanks for that person, letting the Lord come in. And in that environment in our home, makes us ready to come to the meeting. One of the reasons we have trouble loving one another is because we can't even love our spouse. It's an existence. I call it a parallel existence. Her life, his life. The two shall never meet. And with that type of a thing coming around the Lord's table, you can feel the icicles in the room. That's why it's so important to be communing with the Lord all week. And then we come in to the Bible study. Then we come into the Lord's table in life. A giving to the Lord. We have a heart of rejoicing, heart of thanksgiving, or what he's done during the week. But we live often as paupers, spiritually. God did not intend that. He wants to take us beyond that. Well, how? The word of the cross. What's the word of the cross? What's the first word of the cross that you think of? Father, yeah, well, suffering is good. Suffering, sacrifice, and self-emptying. That's a good start. The first word on the cross was what?
Forgive.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that is a word that will sustain us. We cannot forgive. That's why it came out of the Lord's mouth. It's his word. In the beginning was the Word. And he said, forgive them. Now, did he expect us to be able to just do that on our own? Without any empowering? No. How did Stephen do that? He had it within him. And he could voice that because the flesh, Christ became flesh. He abode with us and he left his spirit here. And so we have the same person. What a picture of the spirit of forgiveness. What was the second word on the cross? Today, you shall be with me in paradise. What grace. The spirit of grace. How do we have grace with one, our wife? Our husband. How do you have grace for our children? How do children have grace for their parents who make all kinds of mistakes? Children, young people. Listen, not a whole lot of young people here. But I'll say this for all of us. You know, we're parents when we're in our 20s and we're 30s. We don't know much. And yet God gives us children at this stage of our life. We make a lot of mistakes. But then the Lord gives time, as we heard yesterday, this redeeming of our brother Floyd's life. I immediately thought of Moses. Well, Moses, you're 80. I think we can start with you now. Abraham, you're 100. Jacob, you're 130. I think we got a vessel here. And yet, we have trouble with people not near those ages. Oh, but there's a spirit of grace. Oh, what a beautiful word of grace there. And of course, I'm not going to through the seven words, but my favorite is finished. What a word. One word accomplished more than all of man's words, doesn't matter how great they were, all of man's good deeds, all of man's altruism, trying to help. What was accomplished in that one word? Finished. We need to take that word to heart. It's finished. We don't have to to finish our wife off. We don't have to finish our husband off. The Lord did it. He took care of it. That is the word. Because of time, I'll just leave it right there. Just to say, everything has been done in this word, the living word, so we can come in and live eternally with him. Speak his heavenly language. And we can do it now. That's the good news. And to the degree that his word gets into us, this living word, this Christ gets into us, our vocabulary, our thoughts change. The thoughts, the motives, the intents of our heart change because the word comes in and does this dividing work. We become like him and we satisfy his heart. He has that lover. God wants a bride. Not a floozy. Not a dumbbell. He wants a bride that can coalesce with his son. It's God's gift to his son. It's his wedding present. Are we able to commune with him? Well, are we able to commune with our spouse? These are the tests. We all can come in here and pray some prayer on the Lord's table. But can we commune with those at work in a quiet spirit? I'm not talking about even sharing the gospel with them. I'm talking about being kind, being gentle, about loving them with the word, the living word. Father, we're thankful that in the beginning was the word. And you start with us, each one of us. You started with the word. And the word has been made available to us right now. And tomorrow morning particularly, when the rubber meets the road, the word is available for us to speak, for us to be the salt, for us to be the light, sharing, living your word in this dark, insane world. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the responsibility. And thank you for making it all possible in your dear son. In Christ's name, amen.